Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Idea Roastery. My name's Jason.
And I'm Herman.
So, Herman, have you seen anyone with Apple Vision Pros on their face yet?
You know, I actually haven't seen a hint of it in Cape Town. I don't actually think Apple Vision Pros are here. Like, I don't think you can actually go to the iStore and pick one up yet. Because theoretically, and I need to read more into this, you can't just go and pick one up anyway. You have to get a face scan done and then order it so that it's got the cowling that fits onto your face correctly. And if you have prescription lenses, you have to get the lenses, corrective lenses inserted.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. So as two people who have not tried the Apple Vision Pros, what do you think about them? Is it the future of interaction with a computer? Or, I mean, I'm going basically on what I've seen on social media. But do you think in terms of spatial computing that it is a worthwhile thing for people like Apple to be spending their time on?
It may be. So I have this vision of using spatial computing goggles where it is optimized for being a workplace device. And by workplace, I mean like where you work, not inside of an office. And it's, you and I have spoken before when it comes to productivity and stuff like that, having a consistent space to go back to every day where that's part of your routine and that is set up and optimized for work is actually a really big thing. Every now and then you can work from the couch, but most of the time you need to go back to your big screen and sit in front of your computer, and that's where you're optimized for work. And why I find I don't want to say specifically the Apple Vision Pro, but spatial computing devices interesting is that you can create the perfect workspace for yourself. Let's say you really like being in a cabin in the woods or on the moon, right? You can find like a dune on the moon and you can be like, this is going to be my office, right? And you can set up everything. And so even when you're traveling, you know, you're in a hotel room or you're in the broom closet because you've got kids and you don't have a home office, so you've just turned that into your office. You just put on your headphones, sorry, your iPhones, your face thing.
iFace.
Your iFace. you're on your in your moon office and it's perfectly optimized for work. Now, I think that, and this is just me speculating over here, needless to say, I am not Apple. Mm. I am not as competent. I always find, this is a bit of a tangent, I always find it interesting where people will take a look at something and they'll critique the design choices of something that is actually very intelligently designed, but based on, you know, their specific use case. And they're like, they should have done it this way because this is how it works for me. And it's like, you're forgetting the broader picture over here. But I'm going to step into that territory anyway and say, I think that Apple should have focused on creating an excellent work computing device, because that's where I could see it really shine, you know, creating your moon office. Mm. You know, it's where you go and you use your computer. But instead, what they did is they started putting through all these things where you can record video on it and people can see your eyes. And it's got a battery pack so you can like wear it on the subway and around. And that's kind of like the problem with the iPad. The iPad is neither a phone, which has a specific use and it fits in your pocket, and it's neither the MacBook or computer, which sits on your desk and does work. It's like no one really knows what it's for. And I think that Apple went too far towards the, let's make it do everything, but nothing brilliantly. So it's like if they had cut down the weight and they removed that front thing that like has your eyes pass through it. And, you know, like I would even go so far as to say it didn't even need to have pass through, but that's just a personal opinion. And I understand, you know, wanting to be able to see things through it. And just creating like a brilliant virtual office, then it falls into the category of where your MacBook is, right? Mm. I'll even go one more step further and I'll say, like, hey, just make it compatible with a MacBook only. Don't even bother like trying to have your own proprietary OS. No one needs another device to send things to. I just want it so that I can have like 20 monitors in the air around me as I drift in my productivity hub in the orbit around Saturn, you know? are you picking up what I'm putting down, Jason?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's an element of there's an element of innovation where it's like they've built a platform that is kind of, you know, we've built this, here you go. Like there's something for other people to build on top of. It's like people, they the invention of apps, right? They created a way to buy and sell apps, and then they just let it loose into the wild and see what people come up with. And I think there is an element of like, maybe we don't know the use cases just yet. I think on the topic of having a virtual space that's independent of where you are physically, I think that's quite appealing. But if you think about it in terms of like, you know, someone who's maybe not the most well-off, and the reason why they don't enjoy their surroundings is because they can't afford better surroundings, it's not really at the price point that's going to solve that problem. So I think there's a it could be that, you know, you have like an office space that's, you know, set up for you. We always see people on like Instagram and stuff with their like huge rig setups where they've got like, I don't know, there's like a new thing where you have to have like the side monitor. I don't know what people put on that. It's maybe like the latest Bitcoin price or whatever.
It's just so Spotify can be open up.
Yeah,
there.
There's like, I'm looking at these and it's like, you know, like wide curved screens, like multiple, you know, monitors. And I think that kind of, you know, can go away maybe, but yeah, I think I'm going to struggle to like get away from just having like a normal like desk laptop setup. And I think the challenges are also with things like eye strain and, you know,
yeah,
the battery. Like, okay, you can maybe have it on the go, but you know, you're probably going to have it plugged in.
So apparently the eye strain, so I worked as a VR developer back in the day, and eye strain was real. It was a problem. You know, had eye drops on my desk, my eyes would be tired after doing work. And I wasn't even working while in them. I was putting them on to test games I was building.
Yeah.
According to a bunch of the reviews I've read and watched, eye strain is significantly improved because of these ultra high density screens that they have in there. The corrective lenses, apparently it's also a very, very comfortable device with the problem that it's very heavy, right? It's an incredibly heavy device. And this is because Apple really likes to make all their things very premium. So they go and they add their aluminiums and their real glass. And again, I just want to revisit this whole thing where you project your eyes onto the front of it. Like it's neat, right? But it's a gimmick. It has no functional use that an LED that says this person can see you, two LEDs where the eyes should be. You're right.
I mean, I'd say it's a bit more clever than that, because it's like it's a more immediate way to see if people are in the room. So if you had like a room of people, you could see who's like kind of looking about. That kind of makes sense. You don't get that on things like the AirPods, where you have like that ability to kind of like pause everything and listen in transparency mode. That's it.
Yeah. Also, as an example, is when I have my AirPods in and someone comes over and talks to me, I can put it into transparency mode, but I always take it out to show them that I'm listening to them. And I suspect that if someone came over to you while you were wearing a spatial computing device and started talking to you, you wouldn't just be like, "Well, okay, here's my eyes," as you'd like lift it up, put it on your forehead, like, "Hey, you know, what can I do for you?"
Yeah, it depends how it works, right? Because if you can still get pass through but not show the eyes, then you could, like, you wouldn't know if when you're talking to someone, like, no, you wouldn't know if they're like looking at you or not.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, if it doesn't do that, then when you're not looking, then someone's just going to nick your stuff while you're like in your fucking VR headset, right? Like,
so what you're saying is, like, you need to project your eyes onto the entire bag.
Yeah, exactly. That's what my current concern is, like, you know, I'm not looking forward to the day where you go into a coffee shop and there's like four or five sort of zombie people just like sitting at their desk with these like, you know, pinching the air, as it were.
Well, you see, the thing is that they wouldn't need to go to the coffee shop anymore. So one of my reasons for going to coffee shops was that I wanted to go to a workspace or a place that was kind of conducive to work. And a coffee shop has, you know, that hustle and bustle and that vibe. I personally don't like working from coffee shops anymore. I find them quite distracting and a bit noisy, but I understand the appeal of working from coffee shops. Mm-hmm. However, if you really like working from coffee shops, then your ideal office might be like the perfect coffee shop where, well, there's the hub and bub, there's no crying baby, and there's no one dropping plates in the kitchen, right?
It's an AI generated sort of coffee shop, right?
Where there's, like the ideal hubbub.
a bunch of NPCs that you can just like kind of ignore.
Yeah, right. Like maybe they can come and take your order as well. Like what it does is it just analyzes when you're the most focused on your coding task. And then someone comes to your table like, excuse me, sir, are you doing all right over here? And you're like, oh, yeah, come. I'm fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the first app that I would install, I think, is the coffee shop annoyance app. I think one of the other parts is similar to the vein of, you know, platform for other people to use. I think what's interesting is that when you've got a screen, right, you're kind of confined to this like 2D space. So I think with 3D, you do open up the ability to have a much more interesting way of interacting with data and information. One example is like the industrial use case, which I think is where a lot of these kind of digital twin kind of technologies are coming out, is that if you've got like, if say you're like monitoring a production line or something, and you've got, you know, like 1,000 different machines, they're all sort of operating, to go into there and kind of even looking at the data from like a dashboard point of view, there's so many like pieces of information and like, you know, measurements, and there's maybe like 4 or 5 different screens of graphs and data that you may be having to look through. It would be a bit of a better interface to be able to kind of just like look at the machine, and then it'll kind of show you a bit of data about that. So I do kind of think that kind of interface is going to make it a little bit easier for people to sort of interpret data. Also, if we look at things like like geospatial data, being able to like zoom in and like look at like geographic objects. I mean, you could do this on Google Earth today, but I think there's like an extra element of interactivity that you can add through something like a Vision Pro, which I think will push it into that more sort of niche industrial sort of business use case kind of environment, which I kind of think the Mac Pros are as well. You know, those big Macs that you usually see at like a fancy, you know, optometrist, like that doesn't really need to have this Mac, but they've got like a big one. It's kind of going to be like that. No one really has them, but like the people who have them are using them for what they need to be used for.
I saw an interesting use case where it was for viewing or watching the Formula One, right? So you've got, you're inside of the booth and you're watching the Formula One, but then on the table is a big interactive map of them, and you can see all the cars in real time moving around there. And so you've got like a better awareness of what's happening over there. But one interesting, and this is more of a interesting use case for virtual reality. And it's something that Simon, our mutual friend, was working on a few years ago. And one of the problems with training crane operators is that you can't train a crane operator by just popping them into a crane. They have to go through health and safety. They have to get prepped up. They have to go through some rudimentary training before you even put them into the crane, right? Now, they had a very big problem is they would spend a lot of time getting new potential operators and doing the ground training with them. And as soon as they would try to go up the ladder, they're afraid of heights, right? And they actually could not physically go up the ladder further than, you know, a couple of meters. Now, as a way to filter that and as a way to kind of quantify which candidates will be able to get through the ground training, they created a little simple VR simulation where it just, you know, you just go up the ladder onto the crane, and it does a little bit of like windy shaky things, and it's like,
yeah,
VR is very, very good at convincing your brain of phobias like that, right?
Yeah.
So you can get up there and you look over the edge, and even me, who I'm not particularly afraid of heights, I'm actually I'm height-philic, is I'll even look over the edge of a VR thing, and my stomach will do that little like blah, 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 wow.
Yeah.
And so that was an interesting use case for that, but just to wind it back to the more industrial use cases, one really neat thing about, and this is specifically that pass through spatial computing, is let's take, for instance, you have some machinery, some heavy machinery in your warehouse that is built by, you know, a dude in Sweden. He can inspect your machinery by, you know, having a screen out, and he can see what you see through the goggles, and he can just point to stuff in real time. So he can just like draw a thing on the screen, and that's like point, you know, this over here is the flux capacitor, and that just needs to get shifted to the right so that the, you know, hypernuclear fluid can drain correctly. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think those are like two areas which I think are quite exciting. And the common thread there, well, first of all, the therapy one, I think I've already seen companies that are using VR for like, you know, sort of occupational therapy, teaching people how to like walk and stuff. And especially for the cognitive behavioral therapy about, you know, heights, tarantulas, all of these kind of things. I think it is a good use case, but the remote use case is actually very interesting. So there's a couple of companies in the UK where they're not building autonomous vehicles. What they're doing is they're building remotely operated vehicles. So instead of what will happen is like the vehicle operates autonomously for majority of the time, but when it gets into a situation where it doesn't understand what to do, it will call to a data center or a call center of people who have these like rigs. And what it'll do is you'll have someone remotely drive the car. So they kind of connect to the car, and then they're like driving it in as in the simulator, but it's actually driving the real car. So they're remotely operating the vehicle. And although it's just for like personal cars, you can imagine like having the same thing for like farming vehicles. Like if you've got a combine harvester, instead of having to train someone to become a combine harvester like driver, you could maybe have, you know, like big company, like they'll give you a combine harvester, but it's automated with a driver in it as well.
I've actually seen that in some mines in South Africa. They have some mine vehicles that are fly-by-wire, and the operator just sits in an air-conditioned room with four big screens around them, or three big screens around them, and just operates it from there. So we do already have something like that, but certainly reducing the cost. Because as you said, like the people who have the fancy setup with all the screens and stuff, interestingly enough, that is actually more expensive than the Apple Vision Pro. And the Apple Vision Pro is a particularly, particularly expensive piece of beta hardware.
Yeah. But I think those kind of use cases means that you can have someone who's skilled in driving that thing, but then they can switch really fast. Like you can be like,
yeah,
a combine harvester in, you know, the Netherlands, and then you can immediately switch to doing the same thing in like South Africa or wherever you are, right? So you can have like this kind of dispersion of talent. And so one of the other use cases, which I thought was actually really interesting, is the problem with South Africa and Cape Town specifically is that there's a lot of like taxi violence. But if you had like autonomous driven vehicles that were operated in this way, then you wouldn't be putting, like if you would put in a bus route, right, you could have a bus driver that's sort of remote, and then that creates safety for the bus driver. So you could potentially eliminate some of that sort of nastiness that comes with it. But I like,
so
I really like the,
what you're saying,
the remote driving.
That...
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. You go on.
No, so I really like this remote driving kind of, or remote operating kind of a use case.
So what you're saying is if Tesla doesn't figure out full self-driving, they should just outsource it all to India.
Yeah, I mean, it could be someone local, just anyone who knows how to drive a car.
No, I know, but it is an interesting. I think latency would be a problem for halfway around the world. Actually, probably not.
So you would have localized data centers. Like you could have, like with 5G, you can get pretty good. You might have to have, like locally within Cape Town City Bowl, right? Like, but with things like private 5G networks being like more readily available, I don't think it's going to be an impossibility. And especially when it comes to rolling out like public transport, like we know like buses need to happen, and we need to have better like modes of transport, like trains as well. If you don't have the risk of someone dying because they've like, there's a violent person who wants to like destroy the trains, you could have this like automated way without necessarily having to have the full automation, which requires a lot of training, a lot of data. And kind of it's more like a hacky way of getting it. But also on the fixing use cases, having a mechanic like teach you how to fix something like on your own, that would also be a really cool use case.
So I personally think that the Vision Pro specifically, so we've been talking more about like spatial computing devices as a concept, but about the Vision Pro specifically, I think it may have failed, kind of. And the reason I say this is that, there's a lot of YouTube videos and stuff that are like, why I'm still using my Vision Pro 3 months later. And the thing is that, like, when the iPhone came out, no one had to justify their use of it 3 months after purchase, right? It was super, super obvious. When ChatGPT came onto the scene, there was no one who was saying, like, 3 months later, why I'm still using ChatGPT. No, of course you're still using ChatGPT. It's such a game changer. Whereas with this, I think it started out where it was like really neat tech demo or a development kit where it's like there's a lot of stuff that can be done in this space, but no one's done any of it yet. So there's a bunch of companies and individuals who are furiously building stuff for it to make it more useful. But in its current state, it's not very useful. Like if I were to go and get an Apple Vision Pro today, outside of like using it to put a bigger monitor on my laptop screen or overlay a bigger monitor on my laptop, I don't really have a use for it until I can, sit on the moon with my giant screens all around me. And even then, like I have a nice home office setup that I'm very comfortable in. So it's like it, I.
Is the incremental value worth the astonishing price, right? Like the value you're getting from it is, there's an opportunity cost to, actually buy like a better laptop or, buy a monitor.
I want to point out that Apple's XDR, XHR, XDR display, their fancy display, costs more than the Apple Vision Pro. So that's a comparison that you can make.
Well, you're buying a lot of pixels, I guess. So I think maybe per pixel the price is still the same. But yeah, I'm not sure. I think for now, I'd like to see it in use, and I'd like to maybe have like a few decent apps that come out. Also, the other thing is like with like things like AI, there's a lot. There's basically the whole way that people interact with the internet is kind of changing, both in the AI sense, but also in like the spatial computing sense, right? So, with th like AIs being like software developers and stuff, there's like, are we even going to need to like type on keyboards and stuff like that, right? So maybe there is a world where it's just, point, click, drag, in this like virtual space, or just, outsource it completely to someone else rather than even get involved. But I think it's like, yeah, there's enough sort of movement around to maybe make something big of it. I think it's probably going to gravitate more towards those like sort of medical therapy, like industrial use cases where, it's, I've seen enough bad like dashboards and stuff like that to know that it's really hard to convey data in a sort of 2D plane. But maybe, it's going to be some one of those use cases that sort of shoots out. I don't think it's going to really be mass adopted. I'm probably more bullish on Meta to do that because of the accessibility factor.
For context,
Like,
you're talking about the Meta glasses and not the Meta Quest.
no, the Quest. The
The
Quest, I
Quest,
think.
okay. Okay, that's more of
I
a
think.
gaming device, yeah?
No, I think the Quest 3 is meant to be like the. It's like I see it as the Android to the to Vision Pro, right? It had like it's kind of in the gaming sense. It came from the Quest, right? But it's got a lot of those things, and also like the remote. I guess the remote conferencing part, that would be really interesting to see if they can get that bit right, where you can have like a physical in-person conversation with someone without necessarily being in the room. I think that might be a use case, but again, I think it would be more, well, it wouldn't, because like you have to have the Vision Pros need to be specific to you, right? So you wouldn't be able to have them in a conference room, and like you could just go into like a phone booth and like put them on, right? It has to be like customized. But maybe that technology will change, maybe it'll be something that you have in your office that you make use of every now and again, right? For, a remote meeting of a certain importance. But I don't know if I'd be using it like on a daily basis.
Yeah. I mean, I look forward to the day, and I don't know if this is actually physically possible, but where you can get a mixed reality headset that kind of goes on like a pair of glasses, right? One that's comfortable to wear, and
Yeah.
maybe have the computing device in your backpack. Just have the glasses with the screen over there, and then a light, and then a wire that comes up behind your ear. Because I think having something that's a bit too clunky, having something that's quite uncomfortable, doesn't justify the marginal gain. I think that's just kind of the theme over here, is that it's a neat concept, but it just doesn't justify the marginal gain that comes with it.
Yeah, not yet, at least.
Not yet, at least. So we'll see what the future holds.